You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the PHNX Suns podcast.
I'm your host, Greg. Legs look good. Look at that thing, man.
That is Saul Bookman filling himself up next to me. And this show is brought to you by the one and only DraftKings. DraftKings, if you're feeling yourself, use that code PHNX and get bet $1 at any football game. Get $150 in free bets instantly. I've introduced Saul Bookman. That's all. He doesn't need another one. We've also got Gerald Bourget. Gerald, I'm coming. He didn't say anything weird this time. He just did something weird.
He just caressed his thighs.
I was like, damn, my pants was like so tight and my thighs are so thick.
Brought to you by Popeyes, wings and thighs.
Hey.
Not really, though.
Monroe's is not going to like that.
No, cheating on Monroe's.
You're cheating on your chicken friend there.
At least he's anyway.
Still in the works. We're still working. We're still talking.
And the Emmy Award winning Lindsay Smith. Hello, Lindsay. The one who goes, I really need to yawn with 3 seconds left in our intro.
And then we all yawn.
I got them all.
You did. You did get us all. We got a special guest coming up on the program that you all should stay tuned for. It's not a Mercury Monday. It's a Mercury Tuesday. We're all off this week. You're supposed to be doing a live show on a Tuesday even, but we are. And we're going to be talking with Shea Petty of the Mercury. She's having a career year. Excited to talk with her as the Mercury get ready to head into their first round playoff matchup. But we're going to start this with our tip topic of the day, like we always do. And today it is ESPN's top 100 rankings started to be released. They did 100 through 51 today. And one Mikal Bridges shows up at number 66 on the list, the only Sun to make an appearance so far. And want to know, is it too high? Is he not, you know, is he not in the right spot? What are your thoughts on Mikal Bridges being 66 on the list?
I think it's probably just right, considering he wasn't ranked last year. Like, that was probably a makeup call, moving him up that high. But I feel like maybe he could go a couple spots higher. You look at some of the guys that are around him. And it's pretty recognizable name, so it's nice to see him on the list. You got like Malcolm Brogdon, Bogdan Bogdanovich right in front of him. I feel like Mikal Bridges is probably going to jump even higher next year. This was kind of just like a late, like, oh shit, we forgot to put him on the list last year. We got to bump him up pretty high after a finals run.
Son's great, Bogdan Bogdanovich? Is that a yes?
Yes, the son's great. Our son.
I have a Bogdan Bogdanovich.
You have a double jersey. Bogdan jersey?
I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Maybe I'll bring that one in at some point. So I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're good. I'm used to it. yeah, you know, the only thing that gives me a little pause is now I'm really curious to see where Diego is going to fall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to assume he's top 50.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You would really hope so. Otherwise,
that'd be crazy.
Otherwise, this would be asinine of a list. So, yeah, Mikal, I think 66 right about on spot. I probably would have slotted him around a little higher, like 60, just because I think he's a little bit – he's better than those guys that are surrounding him. Mm-hmm. So, no, I like where Mikal slotted.
I was going to say like high 50s, like, but that's probably just because – he's our guy. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm going to always say, like, give him a little bit more because he's ours, you know? Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, like, 57 to 59.
He's definitely somebody that, like, you do have to watch to appreciate. And if you don't watch a lot of Suns basketball and you just kind of catch glimpses here and there, you might not appreciate Mikal Bridges for all that he is right. as much as we do, because we do watch every game.
Well, and when you look at the description, obviously with Mikal, this will probably follow him for a really long time, it's just 3-and-D. And it's like, yes, but then also this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Recency bias, too. He did not have the greatest finals performance. So from a national perspective, if that's what's fresh in your mind as well, that may have impacted where he fell on this list. I think he's probably in the right area. What surprises me, and we briefly touched on this, that Cam Johnson's going to be in the top 50 after our interview with him. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he I was like, what? Did you get is that breaking news?
No, but Cam better sources. Be on the list next year.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He
I,
should be.
I'm surprised next he didn't I'm crack surprised the top he wasn't,
yeah, at least in the 90s or something like
That's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would because think there's he would
not,
be there.
There's not much separation between him and Mikal.
Right.
Not 34 spots separation, in my estimation.
No, but again, that's us watching this team game in, game out, where from a national perspective, it's like, oh, Cam's nice. He had that cool dunk. But, you know, they're not seeing the little things. A lot of these lists are driven by the box score. Mm. And in Mikal and Cam's case, the box score doesn't tell the full story with these guys.
And Jay Crowder.
Well, definitely Jay Crowder. Well, either. Yeah, I highly doubt there's any chance he's top 50, so he didn't make the list either. You know, it would not shock me if Campaign has another season like he did last year, if he cracks the top 100 in those 90 in the 90 area. So, but I think it's fairly it's pretty fair for Mikal. So
the good news is that, like, if you look at it, every team average wise would get like 3 or 4 guys on this list. The Suns have 4 in the top 70, assuming that DA, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker are all in the top 50 where they should be. So that's, I mean, a positive sign of the times, because a couple years ago they'd have maybe one, maybe two guys maybe on the top 100.
Maybe
so.
That's why they left Cam off. They were like, we can give them 5.
Well, 1 year at a time.
A couple years ago they couldn't even crack the top 10 in future roster lists or top 25 under 25 lists. Like, they couldn't even do that. Now they're going to have 4 guys in the top 70 of the NBA. That's pretty impressive. Another thing that is impressive is the fact that what the Suns did last season and how they were able to make what many still feel was an extremely improbable run to the finals and winning the West. But the question becomes, going into media day on Monday and training camp next week, is just how wide open is the West still? Did the Lakers close that door, or other teams in this mix that now make it where it is less realistic that the Suns could be back-to-back Western Conference champions? Gerald, you wrote a great piece on gophnx.com about this. Why don't you walk us through your thoughts and what you touched on in the piece?
Right. Well, I kind of wrote the piece because I felt like a lot of people were still writing off what the Suns did last year because of, you know, the easier path that they had to the finals than you could typically expect, with guys being hurt on the opposing side in every series. And a lot of people just wanted to kind of dismiss it as a fluke. And in my mind, I'm looking at the West for this upcoming season, and in my mind, like, I'm saying, what is to stop the Suns from getting back there again? Obviously, there are as many as 5 or 6 teams that could realistically win the conference this year, but each one of them has a different reason that could hold them back. Like, especially with the injuries, like Kawhi Leonard, we don't know when he's going to be back. He might miss the entire season after that knee surgery. Jamal Murray, he might be out for 9 to 10 months from when he had his ACL surgery. And that's 2 teams right there. Klay Thompson has not played in 2 years. So everyone trying to anoint the Warriors back, I'm not sure about that yet. Their big three is older. So I'm looking around the league. The West is wide open. There are 2 legitimate title contenders in the East, but the West feels wide open to me.
The Klay thing bothers me, because why does everybody assume this guy's had 2 catastrophic leg injuries? Why do people assume that he's just going to come back and be that same player, and the Warriors all of a sudden are going to be vaulted back into the top of that
West? Because it's a little different with him than, let's say, the concerns were for, like, a guy like Amari Stoudemire coming back. Mm-hmm. Amari used his athletic ability quite a bit to his advantage, whereas Klay doesn't really do that so much. You know, he comes off screens. He's a beautiful spot up shooter. He doesn't necessarily need, you know, the most outrageous athletic ability to do what he does. So you can see a realistic path for him to come back more quickly and you know, kind of fit into everything a little quicker than most, I would say.
On the flip side, though, they are also getting a little bit older by NBA mm-hmm. standards. So that could be an issue with the ability to bounce back that he could have potentially had 3 or 4 or so years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like they're very much in the Suns category where internal growth is going to play a big part in it too. Does Wiseman become a guy worthy of the slot that he was drafted? How do their younger guys fill in those holes on this roster to really put them back in contention?
I don't know. You know, basketball is a little different than a lot of other sports where you kind of see the glimpses of dudes in that first year and whether or not they're going to be able to play at that level for the most part. I mean, I can't even think of a guy off the top of my head who came out their rookie year, didn't show anything, and then all of a sudden, like 2 or 3 years later, holy crap, where'd this guy come from?
You know,
that's very, very rare. Nah, okay. You know, so
he's one of the rare ones.
Yes.
It's a little difficult because ball is ball. Basketball is basketball. Like, you know dudes that can hoop, like, when you see them and you play against them and you scout them. Like, you just know. Other dudes, they take a little bit of development, and he's not a big man. So it's like, he is a big man. James Wiseman is. I'm not a big believer in him in the first place. What I saw last year, I was like, meh. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing that would make you think that the Warriors could develop him to the point where he would be a consistent threat on either side of the ball.
Right. And they don't, like, no offense to Andrew Wiggins, but they had their Kevin Durant security blanket for when they had injuries or when guys were, you know, needed to rest. They don't have that with Wiggins anymore. And some of their younger guys, like, I like Juan Toscano-Anderson. I like James Wiseman for the future. But if you're trying to win a title this year with those guys, mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust them over the younger core that the Suns have in playoffs.
And that's why there's the rumors of possibly trying to go after a guy like Ben Simmons to come into the fold. Mm-hmm. And Ben Simmons, I mean, let's obviously he's not reporting to training camp as was reported today. Mm-hmm. Him coming to the Warriors, let's just say that did happen. It would be a very odd fit. But not a bad one in my estimation, because they definitely will not rely on him to score.
No, you can hide him.
He's the facilitator to the nth degree. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen with him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that could shake up the West, because you imagine if Philly's going to trade Ben Simmons.
They got to now.
I mean, he's forcing their hand, but it's likely going to be the West. They're not going to want to trade him to an East rival. So that'll change the complexion of what the West looks like in all likelihood as well.
I go back to what Gerald just talked about. You know, at the end of the season, it was like, man, we had our chance to win a championship. And there was a little part of me that felt like we just let it slip away. Mm-hmm. Like, there was our golden chance. As the summer has kind of gone on, I felt less and less like we missed our chance, and more like, okay, we still have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, because of the way the West is structured, I still feel like the Suns are the favorite. Mm-hmm. I still feel like that. I know the Jazz are probably going to have something to say about that. But the Jazz, realistically, are the only ones that are not having to compete with a lot of different variables as much as, like, the Lakers do in trying to fit in Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. or the Clippers without Kawhi, and, you know, and the Warriors with Klay coming back. Like, there's so many variables on all these other teams. But the Jazz and the Suns are the two teams that don't have those variables, and I feel like are going to be the most consistent from the first game all the way to game 82, and I think you're going to see that in the standings this year as well.
Right. I think those two teams have the most continuity, and they were kind of the ones that came together last season as well, so they really have that working to their advantage. And for me, the reason why I view the Jazz as a threat to win the West, but I would still put them behind the Suns, is mm-hmm. because yeah. – I don't know if I can trust the Jazz in a playoff series for whatever reason. Like, they just fall short every single time, whether you want to talk about Rudy Gobert being able to stay on the court, whether you want to talk about guys just missing defensive rotations and not playing the way they did in the regular season. They also don't have a lot of room to get better. Like, Donovan Mitchell is 25. The rest of their roster is like 29 and up. So last year it felt like that might be as good as this group is going to be.
The Jazz choke more than somebody eating a sleeve of saltine crackers without something to drink. That team is not going to win. Is not going to win the West and be a title contender. They manage to do that on a regular basis. They play well in the regular season and they can't get it done in the playoffs. I don't see that changing with the Jazz. The Jazz are not the team I look at and go, that's scary.
No.
For me, it's the Lakers if they can stay healthy and figure out where they're going to get shooting from, or Denver when Jamal Murray comes back. Those are the two that I look at with the Kawhi injury that really, I think, push the Suns this season and make it difficult for them to repeat.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, but with Jamal Murray, like Gerald, you said, 9 to 10 months at best, yeah, if at all this season, like that's a big hit to that team.
Right. Huge hit. Like you're asking for this guy to come back basically right at the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
That is not happening.
Yeah.
And if you play the Nuggets in the first round, you're relying on a Jamal Murray that's coming back, hoping that he's going to be the one that's going to take you to the finals. You can keep dreaming. That's not going to happen.
Right, because even if he does make it back in time for the playoffs, you don't have the continuity from the regular season. You're not sure how he's feeling in live game action. You know, you have all these small little factors that'll play into it and could be their Achilles heel.
And maybe it's recency bias, but I am not afraid of the Lakers. I understand the mystique and it's LeBron and blah, blah, blah. But LeBron is, I don't know, man. I'm starting to feel like Father Time is finally catching up to LeBron. He did not look 100% last year in the playoffs, did not have that same burst. Without a second superstar to go alongside him that he can rely on, I'm just not a believer in the Lakers at all.
Do you not remember 2-1 first round? We were all feeling things got a little tighter. You know, everybody was a little concerned when the Lakers were up 2-1. Anthony Davis's injury, a big thing. I think if the Lakers are healthy, they're damn scary. I get that they've got one foot in the grave, but I'm still scared of the talent. But
at the same time, because of that injury, you let a young up-and-coming team develop a whole lot of confidence and really build themselves into a powerhouse in the West, in the Suns, that can compete with the Lakers. And they're not going to be – the moment won't be too big for them next year if they should face them in the playoffs. I said before the playoffs even started that I wanted the Lakers, and I was right. Scared.
You were right, thanks to injuries, and that's part
of
this discussion.
Absolutely right.
Wait,
because
just
I said
of
injuries.
Injuries. Is that what you're saying? That's the only reason the Suns won is just because of the injuries.
In the Lakers series?
Yeah.
Yes, I feel like the Lakers had their number until that AD injury.
But they had their
number. Why is that so? The Lakers were up 2-1.
Yeah, with Chris Paul playing with one arm.
And
yeah,
he played with one arm that basically.
And he got better and better as the series went on.
And they won in six anyway.
The question was, If AD didn't get injured, did I think the Lakers were going to win? Yes.
Oh, well, if we're factoring in Chris Paul being hurt. Yeah,
yes,
but you could spin that both ways.
Yeah,
I think
if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt from the very jump and AD's still healthy, you could easily say that the Suns would have beat the Lakers easily.
It would have been a seven-game series and a toss-up in that seventh game.
That's what you make me
look,
sick.
Look, I think the, I think the Lakers have one more run in them. What the Suns did last year was open their window earlier than anybody expected.
I agree.
And that window should stay open for the next 5 years. I understand Chris Paul's getting older, but the core of this roster will mature and will grow. That they're a 25 and under group that will grow into this larger thing. So I think the Suns open that window early, and the Lakers have one last run in them. That's that team, if there's not injuries, is scary.
But the Lakers stay injured.
Yeah, some of these guys have one last year left in them, just period. Like, you look at their roster. LeBron turns 37 in December. Westbrook turns 33 in November. Melo's 37. Ariza, 36. Rondo, 35. Howard, 35. DeAndre Jordan, 33. Wayne Ellington, 33.
It's like playing those old dudes at the gym that always talk all that shit, and then you finally whoop that ass, and they're like, oh, man, it's just because we hurt.
Saul is that old guy at the gym.
I don't go to the gym no more.
Hold on. DeAndre Jordan is the young guy on that
he's
roster?
He's one of the young guns on
like
the roster at 33 years young.
The Lakers sponsor is going to be Metamucil.
I look at them, and there's still talent there.
They're star power for sure.
I think you are 100% right with the Jamal Murray. If he comes back right at the playoffs, that probably takes them out of the equation. So for everybody, who is that team that you look at that is the potential roadblock for the Suns? Is it that Jazz team, or is there no roadblock? Are we overthinking?
I think the only roadblock for the Suns is the Suns themselves.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And that was my number one reason why I feel like the West is wide open for the Suns, is that internal growth factor we've been talking about. Like, four of their top six guys are under the age of 25 and younger. Campaign is 27.
Man, they're going to run Paul out of the gym.
If Chris Paul can just stay healthy, they have the athleticism advantage. They have the shooting advantage. They have the age advantage. Like, I think the Lakers have star power for sure. And I think Russell Westbrook, if he wins you a playoff game, that's great. But he can also easily lose you two playoff games, and that's just who he is. And so if they're even dinged up at all, if LeBron isn't anything less than his normal 110%, I'm picking the Suns in that series every time.
What concerns me is not internal growth for this team. I think that will naturally come because they're that talented. It's, can you replicate the chemistry? Mm-hmm. Can you replicate what was a selfless group of players last year and maintain that? Because very little roster moves. I mean, you add Landry Shamet, you add JaVale McGee. They seem to be guys that fit that. But can you replicate what many people referred to as magical in terms of the way that locker room came together? That is what I think is a bigger impediment than anything, because that carried the Suns in certain situations, I think.
What do you think those factors are to replicate it? Do you think it's continued selflessness? Do you think it's continued confidence, or added to their confidence levels? Like, what do you think it is that they would have to do to be able to replicate that?
Well, some of it is staying within themselves and staying hungry. Some guys were trying to prove themselves, like Campaign, and trying to get that first contract. You know, guys like Devin were trying to prove that they belonged on that superstar level. DA was trying to show that he's not just some big goof, which a lot of people try to put on him. But you can get it's Monty Williams. Don't get too happy on the farm. Are they too happy on the farm, right? Do they buy too much into their own press clippings? Those kind of things will be a factor.
I don't think it's going to be a factor, because I don't see a lot of the national media like really, really on the Suns. Like, right. It's always about the Lakers. Sure. It's always about the fucking Knicks. Like, yeah. It's always about these bum ass teams that don't deserve as much love as the teams that are really excelling in a given year. And, you know, those are those same teams that always get all the love. Golden State's going to get all the attention. So are the Lakers. But when it comes down to it, I think the Suns, I just believe this. I think the Suns, they don't really have much to worry about. Everything is internal with them. And I think with Chris Paul still here, the continuity is going to be there with Monty there. That's the thing about this, is that you have solid, level-headed dudes that are running this organization, not only on the court, not only on the bench, but even in the front office. Like, from top to bottom, the Suns are positioned to have a nice, good, steady run for the next couple years, should they pay their players the way they should. And I don't see this year being any different than last.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about that one too much, because I feel like they still have so much to prove. And I think all of them still have a pretty big chip on their shoulder, because obviously you didn't win the finals this year. Mm-hmm. And people are still trying to claim that your run last year was a fluke. Luck.
Yeah.
It's not something you can repeat. And like you said, they're not getting the attention that they probably deserve right now. So yeah, I kind of still think that the chip's going to be there a lot. If anything, even more, maybe so. Yeah,
we've seen it take down better teams.
Better teams with a lot of, you know, predisposed drama that's already been there, true. Right? Like, people with personalities that you always had to kind of cater to, and this team just doesn't have those guys. Like, and individually, I still think like this entire squad, Devin Booker included, still feels like they have something to prove. Devin Booker still never made an All-Star game outright, like, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton, can he even be that third piece? Is he even as good as we saw him in the playoffs last year? Mikal Bridges didn't get defensive team nods. Like, he's definitely one of the best players out there. Cam Johnson trying to prove himself. Cam Payne trying to prove himself as one of the best guards in the league as well, because he shows flashes of that from time to time. Like, every single person individually, I still feel like, has a lot to prove. And collectively, I think the Suns will show that on the court.
CP3 trying to beat Scott Foster. Like, we haven't seen that either. Yeah. I think it's all fair.
Can I just tell you a story real quick?
Please do.
Story time.
We hit the Scott Foster buster.
Oh. Lindsay, story time.
So at the Valley Oop game, I asked if I could take a picture of it, but they said no because they didn't want to get in trouble. But a fan had a lanyard on, and on the back of the lanyard was a Scott Foster voodoo doll drawing. And it was the funniest thing. I think it was the Valley Hoop game. It had to have been the Valley Hoop game. It was the funniest thing ever, but they wouldn't let me take a picture of it and tweet it. And I wanted to so bad because it was so funny.
You didn't know that takes away the juju in a
apparently,
in a
that's
doll
why they wouldn't let me do it. But I thought that was a really clever little thing to have for themselves, that they were putting out the vibes.
Yes, that's amazing.
So it's time for way too early predictions. Is everybody saying in this group that the Suns are going to repeat? Because it seems like that's the confidence level.
We have a whole
here.
Preview show.
I get that. I can't ask you a question.
We don't need to answer that question right now. You know, I object. So, objection, Your Honor.
So Saul's on the record as saying they'll repeat.
Sustained.
It's like, which one is it?
So Saul's on the record as they'll repeat. All right. Well, I think it's interesting to look at the West and see where this all falls out. And in a way that you can do that, futures bets on the DraftKings app.
Okay, yes. Can I ask you a question about this?
Please do.
Do the free bets that we get for signing up work for futures bets?
Yes, I put a futures bet on DeAndre Ayton to win Defensive Player of the Year because I was like, hey, the odds are stacked against him. If it pays out, I get a lot of money, and I'm happy with that.
Well, this is really good news because I got quite a few free bets, I need to put them on something.
DeAndre Ayton was like plus 4,000 for Defensive Player of the Year. So if you put $10 on him, it's a 410 bucks. Yeah.
Let's see what the team's futures are here since we're talking about this.
Mm-hmm. They're like
the Lakers are plus 400 to win the title. Yeah. The Warriors are plus 1,100. The Jazz are plus 1,500. The Clippers are plus 1,700. And the Suns are plus 1,700. Wow, so according to DraftKings, the Jazz, Warriors, and Lakers all have a better shot at winning the West and winning the title than the Phoenix Suns right now.
You said Jazz, Warriors, and Lakers.
Lakers, all higher favorites than the Suns, and then the Suns and Clippers have exact odds.
The only reason why the Warriors are that high is just, it makes sense to a degree, is just because of Curry and Klay.
Right.
But again, they're 2 years older from their last finals run. You know, at some point, Curry's going to, you know, slow down as well. Klay's still fresh. He just had 2 years off. So he should be ready to go. There's just too many variables with that team. And that's what I don't like. I don't like the variables because it's so hard to get a team to come all the way together unless your superstars are so crazy good that they can overcome a lot of the adversity.
This is a team that has not made the playoffs the last 2 years, made no major offseason acquisition, and is ahead of the Phoenix Suns as a favorite to win the Western Conference and the championship.
We actually have the bets right here on the screen. I don't know if Shane can pull those up on screen so we can see what we're talking about here with DraftKings. But, you know, you can see the future bets. And they even have odds already on the Denver Nuggets and Suns game one of the season, which is pretty
That'll
cool. So check that out on the DraftKings app for sure.
Yeah, and if you use that code PHNX, you put $1 down on any football game this weekend, you're going to get $150 in free bets instantly, and you can use those to bet some of those future bets on the Suns. You can bet pretty much anything. I mean, we did live cricket betting the other day here on the show. Thank you, Knight Riders. For
was this we?
No, it's just him.
We,
I don't know why.
As a show.
He tries to bring us all in. I'm like, I'm not part of this cricket bullshit.
Hey, you should be. I made money off
that.
You
made 10 bucks.
Hey, that's 10 bucks you didn't make while sitting here.
It's free right? money.
You really getting defensive
here.
About
I'm
your cricket?
I'm carrying your ass up and down the court making 10 bucks in the process.
Oh, my
all right?
God.
So you should hop on that DraftKings app.
Oh,
use that code PHNX.
Don't bet on cricket, people.
Sweet, sweet free money.
Oh, there it is.
Right?
See, I felt like I was cheated on, by the way, last show when you used that phrase, sweet, sweet, on the Phoenix Sports show. I'm not a fan.
Oh, he
man.
Used it on a different
yeah,
show.
Yeah, he used it on a different show.
I use it on
oh,
whatever show they invite me on, like whether it's on this network or elsewhere.
I don't sweet, sweet betrayal.
So make sure to use that code PHNX. Bet that $1. Get your $150 instantly. Also, same game parlays they have a special deal on right now. If you bet some same game parlays, they're going to guarantee, even if you lose, they'll credit you back $25, even if you lose.
See that guy that missed out on that huge parlay last 16 team. I'm not going to say what outlet it was, but man, 16 team parlay. He bet, what was it? Like,
it was like 25
bucks.
$25.
He was going to win over 700,000, but he bet on the freaking Lions.
Yeah. And Espo was dancing on his grave. I was like, dude, why can't we have people prosper? So what if he bet on the Lions?
You can't prosper if you bet on the Detroit Lions.
Oh, my gosh.
Man. Like, that? Are you nuts?
So much hatred
inside
you.
It's the Detroit freaking Lions.
Before we get off of DraftKings, the over-under on the Suns win total is 51.5.
They won 51 last year.
We will be talking about that in the preview show. We'll make our predictions. But if you want to put down some money on that, make sure to use that PHNX code. 21 and over, Arizona only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
And this upcoming Friday, we're going to have a really fun show with a lot more betting information. So if you guys don't want to miss that, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you know exactly when we're live. Gerald's going to bring his nerd brain to the table.
Always.
Our man behind the Mac is going to bring his betting nerd brain behind or to the table as well. So again, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and turn on the notification bell so you don't miss that. And then, as of course, you can always follow us on social media. We'll send out reminders there too at PHNX_Suns and PHNX_sports. So come hang out with us.
Lindsay, do you want to tell the fine people what our next segment is? Because this is one you brought to the table, so I feel like it's only appropriate that you introduce it.
Yes, absolutely. So what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about Devin Booker and Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Because as the world on Twitter saw, at least Arizona Twitter saw on Monday-ish, we're in really good hands with these two at the helm of two of our favorite teams here in town. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's have a fun conversation. And if you guys want, you can get into the debate about who is better. I don't want to have that debate, though, because I just want to enjoy the fact that we have both of them at the same time and that it's fun to be a fan of some teams in the Valley again.
Did Lindy just go, don't clickbait us? Like, don't clickbait this crap.
Basically.
Which I appreciate very much because that's a stupid argument.
How do you even argue it?
You can't.
Well, that's the thing. I was looking into this even more last night, and everybody, the question on all the headlines was like, who's better, Devin Booker or Kyler Murray? And I'm like, why is this even a topic of discussion?
I have an answer. Devin Booker at basketball, Kyler Murray at football,
exactly.
And probably Kyler Murray at baseball because he could have gone pro there too.
He's not wrong.
That's accurate. The only answer that works for that
accurate.
Question.
Probably Devin at ping pong.
Apparently oh,
he's
very totally.
Apparently he's a beast at ping pong. Yeah.
But they also both played. Didn't they get on a Twitch stream together to play video games?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be curious. That was like 2020 or 2021 when that happened.
Who knows? It all blends together.
I know.
It was 2020. Okay. It was 2020 when they had that whole 2K tournament.
Yeah.
He ended up playing DeAndre in the championship game.
Two Suns.
No, it was Kyler and
Kyler
Devin
and
hopped
Devin.
On a Switch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, to play Call of Duty?
Yeah. So it'd be fun to watch them play that together, too.
It's interesting. I think we can all agree that Phoenix is turning into Legend City with these guys playing playing ball here.
He's been wanting to use that all week. Now, in the chat, no, you can't tease it or you can't say anything. In the chat, without looking it up, how many of you know about Legend City here in Arizona? Hit me up. Hit it in the chat. Oh. If you know, just give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down. That's all you need to know.
Look at those answers flooding in.
I don't know.
I was like, I have no idea what it is.
Would you like me to explain what
yes,
it is?
Yes, please.
No. Let them look it up first.
Oh, look. The answers are flowing in. Would you like me to explain it or not? I can't sit here with dead silence for a
few
minutes.
Sure. You can just move on to the next topic.
Look, I think it is very interesting to look at how this valley went from two teams that were struggling mightily in the Cardinals and the Suns, and one guy in some ways helped turn it around in both cases. Obviously took a little longer with Devin, but Devin and Kyler have both I'm not even gonna
it ain't looking too good, boss. It ain't looking too good.
Because I'm a freaking nerd. We already know this.
Back in 1964.
Okay, so Legend City.
I feel so confused right now. Okay. I need you to explain it. I'm sorry.
So yeah, go ahead and say it.
Legend City was a theme park here in Phoenix.
I thought
in
it was like Magic City.
60s to the late 70s.
With older people.
It was basically...
You can do it, that's why I believe in you.
It all always goes these directions. So Magic City. I'm doing it. Legend City was a theme park in Tempe that was basically Arizona's answer to like a mini Disneyland. Yes, please. Can you just throw him out of the studio right now? So it was a big deal back then. I'm a buff on weird historical stuff around town and sports. So that it came up in a discussion. I said I knew what it was. And Saul said, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Per usual, how most of our discussions.
Basically. Now, the one thing I would have said is, like, it would have been cool if you would have referenced, like, a Labo bag. Because I fuck with a Labo bag.
Okay. Well, these two players are a Labo bag. Can we get back to
Wallace and Labo?
I know.
One's tall, one's short. It's
I
perfect.
I know what Wallace and
you
Labo.
You know what they're talking about?
The millennials
now?
In the room are very confused.
I am so lost right now. Yeah.
Wallace and Labo were a kids' TV show for decades here.
It's like legendary.
In town. And
and they used to give away these bags that had like a whole bunch of stuff in them. I suppose this is why, because it's all going off the rails.
Oh,
go ahead, Espo. Get us back on track. Here we go.
Speaking of Ladmo bags, tomorrow is going to be a mailbag edition. We'll reach into that bag, pull out some questions. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter at PHNX Suns or in the Discord and ask your questions, you can do that. But back to Kyler Murray and Devin Booker, where we started. Somehow we wound up wherever the hell we wound up. But I find it very interesting that both of these teams were in dire straits. And then as Kyler Murray has emerged as the quarterback for the Suns, Devin Booker has emerged as a true next level star for the Suns. It's been very entertaining to watch how these two franchises have shifted because of these guys who both happen to wear number one.
I mean, I get where you're coming from and stuff. I feel like the Cardinals were already in a better place anyway. They had one really awful year with I can't remember his name.
Josh Wilkes, Rosen.
With Steve Wilkes, who like completely dismantled that entire team. But before that, you know, it had only been 2 years since they had made the playoffs and done their thing. And so I kind of feel like, you know, the Suns were a decade of futility. It's a little bit different, but we should probably digress and back off.
Well, we digress plenty. Don't you worry. We digress plenty. But we have a special guest joining us on the program from the Mercury. It's Shea Petty. Shea, thanks so much for joining us here on the PHNX Sun Show.
Thank you for having me. How is everybody?
Oh, we're great.
Fantastic.
Not as good as you guys, though. You're heading into the playoffs. You're having one of the best seasons you have ever had. What's the energy level as you guys prepare for Thursday's first round matchup against the Liberty?
Everybody's just laser focused with everything we do, especially with preparation. Pay attention to details when it comes to scouting and player personnel. And we all know it's win or go home. We can't take anyone lightly headed into the playoffs. Everybody's record is 0-0. So we just know from the beginning, tip off to the end, we just got to bring it on defense and on offense and make sure we get this win.
Shea, obviously with DT being questionable for Thursday's game, you've kind of been filling in a role for her the last couple games and have been making the most of it. What has been the key for you to just stay prepared and make the most of this opportunity in front of you?
With me, I think it just starts with my confidence. I know it's going to be a lot trying to fill in for D, but I've been playing my game, just being more decisive and just know what I'm looking for on offense, whether it's finding my teammates or myself. And my teammates encourage me a lot. Like, even though D's not playing, she's always in my ear. I'm always asking her, like, what do you see? How can I improve? And her feedback is really helpful. So for me, it's just like just trying to fill in the void the best as I can. And make it easier on Sky, bring up the ball with the pressure and everything, and just finding my ways to just fit in and just be as useful as I can.
that feedback that you talked about from Dee, what is she sharing with you? What is she telling you or helping you with along the way?
Just more so look for my shot, be aggressive when I'm coming off of screen. If I'm like miss an open person or hesitating, she just like breaking it down for me. This was option A, option B, but always telling me to look for my shot first, because that way it opens up for everybody else. If I'm being aggressive, then teams have to guard me a little bit more, and then that's opened up for the lob for BG or hit a guard on the outside wing. And pressure, like when the energy's down, especially on defense, she looks at me like, let's go. It starts with you. The team gravitates towards you, so I try to get everybody going with defense, whether it's a steal, you know, a rebound, a nice pass, whatever I can to get everybody energized and get us hype.
You know, you guys got the Liberty coming up on Thursday at GCU, for those that don't know. So it's a new location for this game. But, you know, what do you know about the Liberty? You guys have already faced them once this year. Sabrina Ionescu, obviously a fan favorite up there. When they come to town, what are you expecting and what are you ready for?
I'm expecting a lot of energy. Like, they're not going to bow down to us. I'm pretty sure they feel like they can beat us just like we feel like we can beat them. So definitely going to be guarding the three ball a lot. They're capable shooters. The starters and the bench, obviously Sabrina draws a lot of attention with her passing and just like her shooting. Laney's going to be a big one to contain, sorry. So I think for us, it's just staying focused. Like, don't overreact, box out, and just match their energy. Like, we can't have them come out, be more aggressive, and have more energy than us and get a better start. Because these games is really about the team who can just have the best game that night. And so it's only one game, so we can't afford for them to have a better game than us, and we lose this opportunity.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on the program yesterday, but one of the unique things about the first round in the WNBA playoffs is that it is a one game winner takes all situation there. How difficult is it to prepare with that mindset compared to preparing for a 3 or a 5 game series where you know there's a little margin for error?
Yeah, I think with the series, you're able to, like you said, you have a little bit more margin of error. You can like digest one game, like whether you win or lose, okay, let's look for the next game, and you have the time to prepare and make adjustments. Whereas one game elimination, there's not necessarily a tomorrow. You can't think about tomorrow or we'll fix it later. You got to just do in-game adjustments, fix it on the fly, and just give it your all. Like, you can't just go in there like, okay, we got this, do better next game. Like, there in our mind, we're thinking there is no next game. It's one game at a time, one game, one focus, one job.
Hey, you know, the game's at GCU, and I don't know, have you heard anything about, you know, we already know Mercury fans love to show up and support their team, but in addition to that, have you heard about the GCU students that might show up? And have you seen the reputation of the GCU students and how crazy they can be?
No, I actually didn't even think about the students that's probably on campus because school has started. We haven't heard anything. I just know I'm expecting
that right now. Like, oh, damn.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't realize that. that makes sense. But I think it's just going to be a packed house regardless. You know, it's going to be crazy fans, like the X Factors. They're loud. They're going to bring it. I don't know much about GCU. I just heard that they have a really nice campus and facility. So, I mean, just like, it's home court advantage, but it's not really home court. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We just got to go in and get the job done.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the cool things about the arena at GCU is you almost feel like the fans are kind of more so on top of you than in a traditional arena. So it's twice as loud. Yeah. Twice as rowdy. Like, you're going to be able to feel the fan base far more than you would over at Footprint Center. Are you excited? Does that help you when you can hear the fans more? Like, do you feed off of that personally?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it gives you goosebumps. Like, you know, a good play happens and everybody's like cheering hysterically. But I think just having like the close feel is going to help because it's playoff basketball and that's what you look for in playoff. You want the fans to be engaged, loud, just really getting on the other team. And obviously when you're away and you're going to somebody's home arena and they're scoring or do something crazy and the crowd's going wild, that's like oh my God, like they're on me trying to calm the crowd down and then they get in your head. So just their presence and just hopefully just jam packed in there. Everybody's loud so they can't hear their plays being called. And we can't either, but you live for these moments right here. It's playoff basketball, and that's what it's all about.
Are we okay in calling you Playoff P? Because I really want to run with that. Is that okay? Can we call you Playoff
P? Yeah, I just feel like it has like a bad rep.
No, we gonna make it good.
Right? It's never a good thing when I hear them calling for him or Paul George. It's never really a good reference, but I'll take it. I'm cool with it.
No, we're gonna call you Playoff P, not Pandemic P. So we're good. We're
okay,
good.
Okay.
Somebody's gotta bring some respect to that name.
There you go.
Right? Why not you, Jay?
Shay, you hold a distinction that's pretty impressive. You were you hold the record for most consecutive free throws made to start a career in the WNBA or NBA at 37. What is the secret to making free throws? Because we in this town have seen some bad free throw shooters. Shaq comes to mind. But what is the key to being a great free throw shooter?
You just got to really be focused and locked in. I think every time I step to the free throw line, I do a really good job of just kind of tuning everything out. Like it really goes silent for me and I'm in my head and I'm just thinking like, breathe, relax, take your time and just be consistent. Like before practice or after practice, we try to get like 10 in a row. And my goal is to just try to get like 10 swishes. Like I don't want to hit any rim. Just keep the same form, whether you make or miss. And it's all about just repetition. Like I'm from Boston and I know when Ray Allen was there, he would always talk about like, you know, when he's shooting free throws or 3-point lines, he has the same repetition, same form, whether you make or miss. And I guess that routine right there has been like locked in me since I was younger. So I think now, whether it's, you know, 3 seconds or 6 minutes on the clock, I have the same mentality, same routine, and just go with that.
How many dribbles do you take at the free throw line?
Three slow ones.
The best free throw shooters always take three.
That's why
it's something
three.
About that third that's one. Right. You just got to go with it.
Yep. So I'm the resident uniform nerd here. And what have you thought? I personally think that the Mercury's new uniform lineup is one of the best in sports. But what if, as a player, do you get into the uniform stuff? Do you like it? Or does it really not matter to you what gear you're wearing out there on the court?
To a certain extent, it matters. Obviously, you want to look fly out there and look your best. Like, I think personally, we all love the black Rebel jerseys. Like, they're just super dope, and especially with the black and the orange. Like, I those are my favorites. But at the end of the day, like, it don't matter. Put on any jersey, still play the same. But you want to look good. So I think for us, like, my favorite are the black jerseys. I would want to wear those every game.
There you go.
But your career started in Israel. What's the difference in basketball overseas and playing in the W? I've always wondered this. Wanted to ask you since you have experience with it.
I think definitely in the States, the pace is quicker. Like, you know, everybody's strong, everybody can shoot, everybody can jump. Whereas you go overseas, it's usually about like you have just like three or four players you got to focus on. And a W is like the entire roster can contribute at any given time. And then overseas, I think just the language barrier kind of gets in the way. Like, you know, sometimes your coaches or teammates don't speak English, and so it's hard to communicate like what exactly he's looking for in the player or what he wants you to bring to the team. Whereas obviously in the United States, you know, clear cut, this is your job, this is your role, you're a role player or you're a starter. And you do X, Y, and Z. I think when you go overseas, everybody's a starter. Like they bring you here to perform. And if you're not, you can't have like consecutive bad days or you're out. Like they replace you quickly. Whereas in the league, you get a little bit more leeway and just more time to do like skill development and work out and really do like film. When you're overseas, it's just games. Like they really want you to come in prepared already. Minimum individual work, lots of practices, getting shots up, and just like that. So I would definitely say like the game speed, the speed of the game is probably the biggest difference.
Shay, you were originally drafted back in 2012, and you played all over the world, and you made your debut in the W in 2019. So I'm just curious, what was that journey to the WNBA like for you? And now that you're kind of on a team for a full season with the Mercury, what has this season been like for you?
It's been amazing. This is like the first time. This is actually the first time I've been like on a team and didn't get cut. Like, you know, last year I was with Washington. I got cut at the end of the season. So it feels amazing. I love it here. Everybody's super nice. I'm helpful. We get along on and off the court. I think that journey, that period of time between me and getting drafted in 2019, it was kind of a deflating moment for me because it was like you work so hard to get your dream. And I had two opportunities after I got drafted, and I had another one come back to camp, and I feel like I failed both times. And it's like, it's rare you get multiple shots to make it into a league that only has 144 players. So once I got my feet wet with Washington, it kind of felt good, but I really wasn't on the team like that, like I am now. And I feel like this season, like, I feel like I'm just comfortable. I'm not overthinking. I'm not worried about, like, getting stressed. Like, if I make a mistake, oh, I'm going to get cut. Like, you know what I mean? In my mind, it was always like, I don't want to get cut. I don't want to get cut. I don't want to get cut. And now it's just like, just play your game. Mistakes happen. You're not going to be perfect. And I think that's really what has helped me, especially after the Olympic break.
But didn't you get your retribution against Washington?
Yeah, I did.
I seem to recall somebody hitting a buzzer beater against a former team.
No, that felt amazing. You know, I was telling.
How much trash did you talk?
In the moment, I was like, I don't want to talk too much. I was still really cool with everybody. But as the months went along, I had to let it out. Like, if it was against any other team, I wouldn't have mattered. But like, all I went through with them, and to be against Washington, like, it was icing on the cake. Like, it was probably the best moment I've had, other than winning the championship with them. That was like the second top. It just can't write it up any better.
Well, we hope that there are plenty more buzzer beaters in your future, and you know, make that playoff P nickname proud. There,
there. You go.
We are so.
I got you, playoff P. We rolling with that. I got you.
we are so happy to have you on the show, Shay. Best of luck on Thursday against the Liberty, and we hope to get a chance to talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Enjoy you guys' day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Shay Petty of the Phoenix Mercury. Make sure to check
them
out.
That was dope.
That was a great last question. I don't give you a lot of credit, but I'll give you credit on that. Anytime you can get somebody to admit that they talk trash to their former teammates
for sure.
After a buzzer beater, it's always a good one. I personally love Mercury playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. There's nothing quite like it, and that atmosphere at GCU is going to be interesting on Thursday.
We're going to be there.
Yes.
Saul and I are going this Thursday. Oh, yeah. So, Gerald,
are
you coming too?
I'm not sure if you're coming or not, Gerald, but
thanks
we'll find out.
Thanks for the invite.
I invited Espo, but he did not want to go.
I did not hear anybody invite me.
Yeah.
Well,
he literally asked me, are you going to write? I said, yeah, I am. So there you go.
So, Lindsay, I'm going to need you to write.
Oh. I might have
sweet, sweet written content.
Sweet, sweet disrespect.
Gerald's like, excuse me. This is my wheelhouse.
Stay out of my territory.
Gerald, I just love that we were afterthoughts. They're like, we're going. Hey, Gerald.
Gerald was an afterthought. I asked you before.
I seriously do not remember being asked.
Okay, hold on. Gerald wasn't an afterthought. He just didn't come in early enough to be able to be asked before we started the show, but he was definitely going to be asked after the show.
Exactly. Hey. I like how Espo's playing the victim here. Like, there's no victim. You sit right next to me in the office.
Doesn't that automatically make me a victim?
No, it makes me the victim.
Well, either way, I'm super excited to see this game on Thursday.
This man needs a hug or something.
Give him a hug, Saul.
No, hell no. God. You give him a hug. I'm not giving him a hug.
Gerald.
He needs it from his best friend.
Hug after the show.
I'll give you a hug.
The man behind the back.
Both give him a hug at the same
me.
Time. Look at that.
Look at
three-way hug.
This got totally uncomfortable yet again.
He's just going to fight it the whole time like
it's
he's fighting
it
right now.
It's not uncomfortable. Y'all need to hug it out. just for the sake of the show, hug it out. Please.
Oh, here we go.
Thank
There's
you.
A hug. He's extending it. There's a hug.
There we go. For those of you listening on the audio only,
it was the most uncomfortable hug I've ever had in my life.
It was the best hug that I ever had.
We will work on it. But it'll
if that's
be
the
really
best hug you ever had, that's why you were ornery right now. Oh my God.
I'm glad you're saying that word appropriately and not mispronouncing
it. I mean, it could be both.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay. That is a smart move.
Bye, Rag. I'm going to go too.
Look, I'm excited for the Mercury, whether I go with you guys or not. Shay was fantastic. Shout out to the Mercury for hooking us up.
Bryce Marcy, thank you so much.
Yes. Yep, and we'll have plenty more discussion about the Mercury as their playoff push continues. Hopefully a lot of talk, because we could use another championship run here in the Valley from another.
I could use another couple, you know, historic playoff games by DT, because – That last one that I still have in my mind was against Seattle, where she hit that corner shot to send it into overtime. And I still am like, man, I want another run. Mm-hmm. One more. Just give me one more,
Don't
DT.
Sleep on BG, too.
She's day-to-day right now, right? It'll be basically a game-time decision whether she plays or not.
Yeah, questionable for this week.
Well, at least we know we've got Shea, who has filled in very well for DT so far. And then if DT comes back, hopefully the two of them can work together to – mm-hmm. Bring it on home to us with everyone else over there.
DT, BG, and playoff P. Here we come.
Watch out. Well,
don't forget Skylar Diggins-Smith.
Well, yeah, she's good too. Yeah. She's very good.
She's pretty
good. She's all right.
You know, just an Olympian, but, you know. Nah. So that is
it. Hold on. While we're talking about Skylar Diggins-Smith, can I tell you another story that made me feel really cool?
Yes.
Okay, so when Skylar first came to the Valley, I interviewed her 2 days in a row. The first was on a game night. And we were both wearing floral bomber jackets. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm not that bad at my style. I got this. The next day we came in, we were both wearing neutral colored windbreakers. And I was like, I've never felt cooler in my entire life than when I showed up with basically the same outfit 2 days in a row as Skylar Diggins-Smith. I just needed to get that out there because I've never told anybody that before.
Cool,
but it made
story,
me feel
sis.
Very special. I know, but listen, I'm just saying, Skylar is one of the coolest people.
Again, Espo's so bitter right now. Like, it's because he's never worn the same thing Devin Booker's ever worn.
Yeah.
I can promise you that.
If Skylar Diggins-Smith and I show up to an arena wearing the same thing, I will bring it up on the show. Don't you worry.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to go get my floral bomber jacket for Thursday.
And your skinny jeans.
Yes, exactly. Rick just said Lindsay and Skylar had a stepbrother's moment, and that's exactly how it felt. Yes. I was like, oh, are we going to be best friends?
I think so.
So have you hung out with her since?
No.
All right.
Thanks, Espo. Thanks a lot.
I was just
you
wondering.
Couldn't have just left
I mean, geez, what's wrong with my man over here? Oh, man. The hug did not help.
It didn't do anything. If anything, I think it made it worse.
Yeah.
Because at first it was just you, and now he's coming after
you're okay
me.
With me getting blitzed, and now it's you, and you're like, no,
shrapnel everybody.
I'm an innocent bystander.
No, there's not shrapnel for our friends at DraftKings.
Oh, because
I love them. They are the sweet, sweet hug that I need. You can sign up for DraftKings. Use that code PHNX. Bet $1 on any football game. You're going to get $150 instantly. And that makes you feel a little bit better, even when you're bitter like me. So, and you know what also makes you feel better? When you read Gerald's content at gophnx.com. Become a member today. If you use an annual membership, free t-shirt too, which is always... Yeah. It's like a hug with your clothes. It's that nice. I don't know.
What? It was a good effort.
It was a good attempt.
Are most hugs without clothes?
The good one.
Okay, and with that one. No. Oh, that's Gerald. That's Saul. That's Espo. I'm Lindsay. Good night.
I love that Saul's corrupted Gerald on the couch. Oh, everybody. We'll talk.